Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Well, we're back. It's another Tuesday night. Welcome to all our admirable friends out there.
Welcome. It's Buddy.
And
you never say you're Carol, so I'm going to say
it's Buddy. You just think suck me into that one. No, it's Carol. All right. Should we tell them where we're broadcasting from?
We're broadcasting from a hill outside of our campsite in New Mexico.
In the mountains of northern New Mexico, yes. We're at a high peak here so we could get great cell service. So
about 7,600 feet. There's no cell service near the campsite, so we had to pull out and drive out on the side of the road.
I'm driving, and as Buddy's saying, by. I've got bars. Stop, go back, go forward. Don't move. So, but we finally found it so that we could be together tonight with all our admirable friends, and so here we are.
Yes, it's a pleasure, even amidst the vacation, to patch ourselves in and say hello again.
Yes, it was nice to connect and look forward to it.
Because the only admirable friends we've seen this week are some deer and some elk.
Prairie dogs.
Prairie dogs.
So we're looking for the human kind of admirable friends.
Just for a bit.
Instead of the furry kind of admirable friends. So
they have been quite... Well, let's just put it this way. They're not unadmirable friends.
No.
So it does us well to get away from...
Touch base with more natural... The natural... Yes,
yeah.
Very much so.
What's amazing is this opposite effect of leaving the no utilities to all of a sudden driving and patched into people.
And that's pretty much what I'm grateful for tonight, is the lack of technology other than now sitting here talking to our admirable friends. But, no phone service. We don't have running water. We don't have electric. It's just... outdoors nature, it's just so basic.
We're in a tent, but you have a nice comforter underneath that.
I do.
That sleeping bag of yours.
I have top notch equipment, by the way. I've got yes. So I'm very grateful for that too. But I mean, it's only an hour show. I could go on and on.
But it was. It's been averaging about 78 degrees, and in the evening it gets down about 50.
Very nice. Yes.
Very nice.
The air, very, very clear. So, and I was just saying today how I wish that all of our admirable friends could come out here and experience just the...
You were telling that to the park ranger, and he said...
Well, he said, don't tell everybody, because this is the best kept secret out here. So, yeah. It's like, well, you'll like these people, you know. They're not the kind that'll give you trouble. So,
he has how many acres he's caring for out here?
Oh, I don't know.
He's got a ton of them. He just drives around in his pickup.
You like
and he
that?
He finally finds people like us on the side of a mountain. He pulls up. It's amazing. Well, I'm grateful for. After looking through, because today's show is going to be on kind of a reflection back on what we've been through over the last 10 weeks, 8 of which on radio, and the 2 before that were through the Skype and GoToMeeting. So, but we've covered this Tuesday evening now, the this will be our 11th week, so we had 10 weeks behind us.
It flew by the way.
The one quality that I'm grateful for is recognizing the value of restraint. That was a word that was very hard for me to deal with during my practice. But knowing and valuing restraint has been a thing that I'm very grateful to have recognized and developed. Because so much freedom is derived when you step away and restrain from the normal, everyday sensory overload. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think that restraint had a positive effect like that for someone like myself as a very desirous type. It really does play a role, and I guess that's the benefit of when you have structured education, military. A lot of people with that structure find freedom, whereas just the opposite, when there's not structure and restraint, we don't know what to do. We can overindulge in our sensory experience.
Well, there's a lot of emotions that go with that kind of not having things in context. There's fear and bewilderment and just all
sorts
of emotions.
But when you say freedom, you know, we think of freedom. You say, freedom is the ability to do anything I want to do, when I want to do it, or I have all the money I want to do it.
Yes.
That's not freedom. Not for me, anyways. The freedom from the constraint and the practicing towards inner mind qualities and restraining from the external stimulus has provided and opened up newfound freedom.
It's like an allowance, not so much a freedom, wouldn't you say? Is that a good word to use?
Well, I guess freedom for me is freedom to choose. And I didn't realize how confining my choices of freedom were that were there. How constrained I was to choose. I thought I was having lots of choices because I was indulging in lots of liberties. But when you realize that you overindulge in all those things, you've got a lot of responsibilities that you picked up along the way. And you certainly would never appreciate the wilderness that we're sitting in here the last few days.
But don't you think it has a lot to do with life as it is? It's almost like a buffet of life is the buffet of everything you want. I mean, it's right there. In front of you.
Yeah,
so it's
but I
like,
also seen a lot of people gain a lot of weight from buffets.
This is true.
Okay.
But I'm talking the buffet of choice, you know, as far as one of those.
See how different we are. I mean, you love the freedom of choice because maybe you can.
No. I'm piggybacking off of what you said. I'm saying how that, you know, how that could be detrimental. I'm not saying that that's a good
it's
thing.
It's a stretch with
I'm
the
talking about
of
the
buffet.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a stretch. Because
yeah.
I would think of the overstimulus of senses when I think of a buffet. My father used to say when he went to a buffet, he'd always gain weight. You'd have to have the extra eggs or whatever.
Yeah, it's just...
It's
just
there
don't
for
know.
The asking.
Right. So, but that's the opposite of what you're saying by restraint is you have to take away those just to kind of make the choice of the really skillful choices.
Right, and to be free to see those choices where you don't realize that all of those luxuries and liberties that you had was blinding you to seeing.
Hence the buffet is that's my analogy.
Keep going. Maybe our listeners will understand.
So,
in any case, we're hoping to introduce the texting, the live texting on our show tonight, but we've got a bit of a glitch. But next week it'll be there. It'll be on our homepage at bbsradio.com/admirablefriends, and our listeners can text interactively during the show. But for this evening, if anybody wants to text anything, I'm going
like a
to
comment,
give you
a question.
Comment, question.
Experience.
Please text to 972-655-4653. And text again to 972-655-4653 as we work our way through the show. And like I said, we're going to kind of look backwards, Carol, on the last 10 weeks. And since we're sitting up here on a mountain, look forward and see what the future will have. But in the context of the past and what we started with. And I guess the two fundamental things that we should review, we started everything off with really two big definitions, admirable friendship.
Yes.
And then
reliable happiness.
Reliable happiness. So why don't you give me your take on admirable friendship?
Well, admirable friendship is a friendship with somebody else that exhibits the qualities of virtuous qualities that are on the path of intending to better themselves on the path to reliable happiness.
Okay, so that begs the question of what's reliable happiness, which I'll take a crack at. Reliable happiness would be the end game of what we're shooting for, and that would be determining and being happy from within, regardless of the external circumstances, or finding peace and contentedness. It's, I guess, not necessarily happy or giddy like we think.
Right. We're not talking about just like crazy happiness.
Peacefulness, equanimity, regardless of the external circumstances.
So, I like that. I always think of contentment, internal, just internal contentment.
Yeah. And the way we do that is by practicing these 10 qualities. We've got these 10 qualities of internal mind that is the path to achieving that one quality of reliable happiness.
And hence, that's why we had the 10 weeks, because we took one every week.
Yes. And we break them apart, and we put some context, some definition, and then we practice with them. We start by...
And we also, the 10 ideal mind qualities were grouped together into groupings of wisdom qualities, truth qualities, letting go qualities, and don't tell me, calming qualities. Yes.
Refresh the timing.
So you can kind of like put them in a...
We just had a text from an anonymous user saying, just wanted to say I love the show. Well, thank you.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you very much.
So the text works.
Yes, the text does work way up here in the mountain.
So that admirable friends, which is what we call our group, is made up of those admirable friends who don't display all those qualities.
I mean, no.
If we had to pick that, if everyone had to contain all these qualities, you'd be left with nobody.
That would be a huge pedestal to put somebody up on.
Yeah. In fact,
that's not even fair.
As much as I love you, you still wouldn't meet that test.
I know.
So what we have to do is look for the pieces of the admirable friendship. And like you said, they display generous, virtuous, discerning, wisdom, generous, wise, non-harming qualities.
Truthful.
All of these qualities.
Authentic.
That's right.
That word keeps coming up as well.
But what's the sticky wicket, so to speak, about the admirable friendship? In order to... It's hard to find those in people.
Well, you have to be one in order to get one. Isn't that one of those old adages that used to be like put needlepoint in a pillow to have a friend, you have to be a friend?
Right.
So
it's very hard to go find these admirable friends' qualities without recognizing them in yourself. But for those of you that are recognizing them in others, guess what? You have to have them yourself.
Right, or else you wouldn't be able
it.
To see it in somebody else. So you've got it. If you see it, you've got it.
So maybe
whether you're not giving yourself credit for it or not.
That's the key. But it's a good, high probability that if you're seeing it in others, you've got it in yourself.
Well, yeah. That's good to know. I bet there's...
Which is another reason why you need to develop it. Because, to really develop it is to know it, to understand it, and be confident and have conviction in your inner qualities. Because that becomes your safe harbor as all the... ups and downs of the external world that we experience happen.
Right, your anchor.
And so it's us, we find safety and confidence in our inner qualities of mind that hold us stable. And so we can rely on that. When let's take an example, when we have ill will towards somebody because they've did us harm,
mm-hmm.
real harm, or did ones we love harm.
Right.
Okay, Carol, what inner quality could you rest on when that came your way? I'm going to throw you a live curveball.
Well, goodwill back, saying they didn't know any better, or it's obviously they were emotional and they didn't know what they were saying because they would...
And goodwill back would be you wish them the best.
Yeah.
You wish them to find reliable happiness. Not necessarily the best, because often we think this goodwill is like a feeling towards them, which is a hard grasp when people treat you lousy, like you're going to all of a sudden like them. Well,
no,
that's not what goodwill is. Goodwill is recognizing and hoping and wishing that
they have
find
peace in their own heart, that they can
that they
and
find
exhibit
the
it to somebody else, because right. Obviously they're going through something, if they're exhibiting it, then they're not settled in their own heart.
Absolutely.
So that's a good one. It's Looks great on paper sometimes. It's hard to do.
But the more you develop goodwill, the more when ill will faces you, you have it to call on. So all of these mind qualities have to be developed. And
they're good habits to work on and exhibit.
Getting back to the definition, we are aspiring to be admirable friends, the total package, is the end game. The path is surrounding ourselves with those who are on the similar path that display the similar qualities and are willing to develop them. Because I think another delimiting fact or definition of an admirable friend is somebody who's really swinging at it.
Yes.
Right? Not one who walks around. That'll get us to our second subject on self-esteem, which just assumes they have it. I don't think any of us have it. You know, as much as we'd like to stop and smell the roses on our life, I think it's a work in progress.
I like that phrase, a work in progress. I do. But I do think we can see it in other people. We tend to, there's a certain thing, sometimes you just say, I just can't put my finger on it, but they, you know, sometimes we say they're comfortable in their own skin or, you know, they just, it's not an ego thing, but it's just an evenness about them.
About them, again, but you're seeing them at a point in time.
Yes.
So they're displaying that quality at that point.
Yes.
You don't see them behind closed doors when they're screaming at their wife or their spouse.
No.
And we all are experiencing this, so let's not deny it. We're not perfect. We go through experiences, and there's ups and downs. But on the course of time, the more we develop these qualities, the more we're allowed, based on circumstances and deep and different kinds of challenges, that we're able to stay equanimous.
When we're faced with it, we have more tools to rely on.
That's right. And that's what practicing the 10 idea mind qualities is all about. We give a definition to them. We talk about them. We talk about their application. And we open and honest with each other, which is that authentic conversation that we want to have with each other. And most importantly, at least I feel in my life, the admirable friends is a requirement, a 100% requirement for practicing this way. As you know, I'm really an independent. No matter what personality tests I've ever done, I always come on the highest scale of independence in terms of the way I'm kind of wired. People say they can throw me out of the plane with a parachute and he'll come up with a business idea or a concept to move forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or find a pony. However, as it relates to developing the inner qualities and those character qualities, I could never do it alone without others.
Right. Well, I don't think you're delusional enough to know that, you know, what they say is no man is an island.
Correct.
So you know that you can't do it on your own.
Well, you have to seek those that were further down the road than you.
Well, how would you ever move forward? You'd be just stuck in a rut or just keep spinning your wheels. I mean, you would have to, to be taught something or to be taught something, you would have to go to somebody who's a little further along or can help you along.
Yeah.
Any kind of craftsman or artisan.
Yeah, exactly. It's a perfect analogy. So for you macho men out there, I can relate. Get off that macho horse and recognize that you need others, men and women. And yes, we both have both genes in us, half man, half woman anyways, is the way we're built. You seek admirable friendship, and you learn from them. Find those that are further down the road that can help you at any given point, and help those that aren't further down the road. And that's the mystery. That's the secret I have found.
And I don't think it's a sign of weakness either. I think it's society or media. It's a sign of weakness, but actually, it's a sign of intelligence. It's actually smart, you know, when you can rely on somebody else to, you know, help you. Yeah, in a team effort or for support.
Yes, and I guess even the macho men side of us always thought had that wisdom. But guess what? It was for trying to find out who was better in business that we could learn from, and who could we learn from to teach us more about how to be a better father and all of these ordinary things. But have you ever seeked a person that would teach you how to be internally good character? Build those qualities. If that isn't your mission and you're listening right now, I can tell you that it's a fabulous mission to be on. There is no more supreme purpose in life and to develop those inner qualities. Because in my view, you're going to need them.
Well, life's too short to be going through stress and struggle, and a lot of it we bring on ourselves, and we never seem to... What was it you asked a group when you're with them, and you say, how many learn from their mistakes, and the hands go up, and everybody says, how many, you know, experience a lot of stress in their lives, and the hands go up?
No, how many know that they are play a role in the stress?
A role in
so they put
stress.
Their hand up for
yes.
that one, too.
Yes, so it's, okay, we're two for two. And then the third question comes up with, well, how many feel that you can learn from your stress?
No, yeah, the stress will be your teacher.
There's no hands, and there's no bewilderment, hands. And there's like, huh? You know?
Excuse me here. Wait a minute. You create your own stress. You know you play a role in creating your own stress, number one. Number two, you subscribe to this theory that you learn from your mistakes. Ergo, you're making a mistake that's causing you stress, but you're not willing to learn from stress. Or let stress be your teacher. There's always that blank stare.
And that's where the leverage is.
It's always there. And that's why you need admirable friends, because it's the reason you're having a hard time and you're ignoring your stress is you're trying to do it alone. You're trying to do this stuff alone. Life is difficult. It's really, really hard. And you need others to help you down that road. So this admirable friendship and that road to reliable happiness, I think, is a winner. It's worked for us. And we'll keep plowing at it.
And there's a game plan. The game plan is the 10 ideal mind qualities. So it's not like we're on this journey. We don't know where we're going.
Well, that's the path to reliable happiness. And there's not any religion, any philosophy that would ignore and argue. It's like...
This transcends all of that.
Yeah, it's like, almost like arguing with motherhood and apple pie.
Yeah.
Look at the 10 ideal mind qualities.
Right.
Let's just run through
them.
Okay. Determination. Got any problem with determination?
I don't. Because that's overriding everything, because you have to at least start with, what is it, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. That's what Lao Tzu said.
About what you do in life, you need determination.
You've got to start somewhere by saying...
Discernment, the wisdom qualities of discernment and goodwill. Discernment is that ability to choose, to break things down, to look at the detail versus...
Skillful versus unskillful choices.
To even decipher those choices. And that's not something you just have or you don't have. You become more discerning as life goes on. And goodwill is up there in that category of wisdom. And often thought, well, how could something like loving kindness or goodwill end up in wisdom? It's there because it's strategic. You know, you can't ever develop your own mind while you have ill will for others.
No, because it's like holding your fist shut. I mean, it's just you've got to open it up and let go.
Impossible. So it's very strategic, very wise. And we get to the truth qualities, the three qualities of authenticity, virtue, and persistence.
Yes.
That bundle of three. How are you going to argue with those three? Can't.
I love that word, authenticity. Love it, love it.
And then we get to the let go side of things, and that's the generosity and restraint. Generosity, initially when you think of letting go, you don't think of generosity, but when you think about most of your life is grabbing, generosity is a letting go. If you can stop grabbing, that's a way of being generous. Stop taking.
And we said generosity. I mean, everybody kind of thinks of generosity as a material kind of being generous, whether it's monetary or material, but it's generous in kind words, kind thoughts, kind actions.
Or restraint from those. You know, just not exercising unskillful choices and stress on other people.
That's
a form of being generous.
Right, not dropping your baggage at somebody else's door.
And for us to go ahead and take the time away and to appreciate nature, is that not a generous thing that we're giving to each other and to ourselves? There's small, lots
it
of...
It feels it to me.
Yeah, it does. There's lots of intangibles.
Well,
another text coming
and,
in.
And, by the way, the generosity show, we got a lot about... So that really resonated with a lot.
Oh, those two worked well.
Okay, do we have another text?
Got a text saying, just wanted to recognize the value of both of you making your admirable friendship available to so many people. I, for one, am very grateful. Well, thank you.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for texting in.
This text works.
It does.
So we never give people a word edgewise to call, so they got a text. I asked them the other day, why don't you call? Well, you guys sound like you have such a good time. I don't want to interrupt you. So I guess that's what we'll do is we'll have text partners. Which is fine.
Text is fine. Sure. And if everybody's more comfortable doing that way, fine.
I'm confident you're out there anyways. Because I just have this confidence, this inner confidence that people want to have this conversation. And I'm going to stick out there on the limb and just keep blabbing.
I agree.
I know they want to have it.
I do think that the shift in conversation, the time has come. People are saying, I just...
The superficial days are over. If you want to have those superficial, go for it. They do nothing but bring stress to your life.
And eventually you'll figure it out that it's going nowhere.
It can only go nowhere because the thing we seek as truth seekers are the truth of our experience. If we're experiencing stress, then we're confused. We don't understand the truth. Okay, so you got to start by being a truth seeker. And when you start by being an individual truth seeker, you start looking at the truths of your life relatively. And then the more you go through that, the more you find that your life is no different than anybody else's. There are universal truths that exist.
Oh, believe me, if somebody tells you they don't have stress in their lives, they're lying. So, I mean,
it's a perfect connection point where we can all relate to each other in a truthful, that's that authentic word again, way, as truth seekers. And there's very few people that aren't seeking the truth. It's just, is that conversation available? It's that simple to me. It's not available generally. That conversation doesn't exist. We're talking about...
Or we're hesitant to bring it up because we're just not sure how it's going to be received or who we're saying it to. And maybe it's the confidence that...
But if we use technology and we use a little bit of real authentic behavior between shows like this and between our ultimate social network that we're putting together, that Allison and the board are going to help us do, we'll use technology to get this conversation going. And it'll be there. I know it's there. I know there are people that really care. And it's apolitical. It's a-religious. It's got nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. But everything to do with that. You know what I'm saying? It's an issue of the heart. A longing to understand and to be truthful to yourself.
Boy, I'm smiling just when you said that. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't believe I said it. I guess I'm just all taken in by these mountains that
I know.
I'm looking at.
It's like,
look at me.
I tell you.
I'll tell you. So just getting through those 10 qualities again. We had the truth qualities, and then we had the letting go of generosity and restraint, which is number 7 and 8. And then we just kind of calmed into the calming qualities, the last two.
Yeah.
Which was patience and endurance coupled with equanimity.
Mm.
And we finished the last 2 weeks, kind of made the circle on that. So it was a wonderful 10 weeks, I thought, for our first time going through them in a conversation. Of course, you and I have been practicing with them for a while. But
you know what? And this is what I really felt about the last 10 weeks is it was the reinforcement. It was like I knew it, but it had to be, bringing them up again reinforced it and just... cemented them even more. You know,
especially you get on a radio show. You gotta be a blabbermouth and get on a radio show. Now you're socially committed.
I'm socially committed. Now I better show those mics.
I've always opened my big mouth, but now you're committed.
Well, you like that, don't
I
you?
Do.
Now,
oh,
now,
I do.
Because now I'm in like
you're in
Misery Loves Company, so to speak.
No, it's not Misery Loves Company. It's just that stress is our teacher. Now you're really out there. Because you're going to have people calling in, and they're going to want to ask you about your life. So there's no...
I don't mind. Because I like you feel confident about it. I feel like it's...
Do you?
I really do.
Because this is not like you to get on a radio show.
It's not. And I have to really be hook, line, and sinker. But I have to feel it, and I do feel this, that admirable friends want to have that shift in conversation to be more authentic. And that's who I want to be around.
I've been watching you search for admirable friends your entire life, Carol.
Yes.
You know, you were so disappointed that you couldn't find those admirable friends and felt that the world had served you some unadmirable friends. And I think there's a lot out there like you that don't have the form to go about it and select it and were deeper, had a deeper understanding of what the kind of friend they wanted and the person that they really wanted to be close to. Not the one that was going to go to shopping with them and talk about what they got and only whine about their problems and you'd have to listen to that. And then, okay, I'll trade you some of my whining for your whining.
No.
I watched you go through all those people.
I don't
you
like
went
that
through
trying.
Them like a spoiled fish. Mm. And you're here. So it's happy to hear.
Now, which reminds me, didn't someone post something on either Fort Worth Meditation or Admirable Friends about being in a crowd could be lonely? What was that? Do you remember what that was? Something about it could be just as lonely in a crowd, but...
Yeah, there was a poster.
I'd rather be alone than feeling alone in a crowd.
Yeah, to be with some friends, I'd rather be alone, if that's what loneliness is, than be with others that are unadmirable. And have that be deemed friendship. Some strong statements on that Facebook posting. But let's take a break before we get into self-esteem.
Oh.
Now that we've kind of looked backwards at it, and we're going to go forward with this concept of self-esteem. So let's take a break. Be right back.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
We're back.
We are back. And we just finished recapping the last 10 weeks. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, let's first of all make sure that everyone knows that these 10 ideal mind qualities can be downloaded from the website, admirablefriends.org, and either go to the radio or ask for a password and get on a free subscription to admirablefriends.org, in which case all of these and updates to and supporting material to these 10 ideal mind qualities will be posted there. They're also downloadable on our page if you link radio or go to bbsradio.com/admirablefriends. And so you have to print out the context and you can read them and some experiences and some examples, because we're going to circle back and cover those. That is the format of this radio show.
And a point to be made is the 10 ideal mind qualities, that it's not a step-by-step, like you have to achieve the first one before you have to be proficient in the first one before you go to the second one and then go on to the third one, because these are all dynamic, and at any given time they're just flowing back and forth. You know, you're exhibiting generosity and a little bit of patience here and goodwill there, and equanimity will come along here.
It's like making a recipe or a great cook uses lots of spices, a little bit here, a little bit there. You're going to use those 10 mind qualities accordingly. You're going to learn what oregano is, what paprika is, what all of these pieces, a little bit of celery, and manage your life that way and deal with problems and have other people around you to say, how did you cook that? Well, this is what I did. I used a little bit this time around. Because, like, you know, the time like we tried to take my mother's sauce and tried to film her making the sauce, and we never could, because she said, well, sometimes the sausage is a different quality, sometimes the tomato paste doesn't come out right. So it's a living, dynamic thing. You decide what ingredients you use.
But the beauty is they're tools to be drawn upon at any given time, because you don't know when you're going to be able to, you don't know when you're going to need them. And it's nice to have that to rely on.
Yes. And it's you keep studying them. That's the concept. You practice with them. That's the P. So you get concept, practice, and then understand is the result from the cause and effect of concepts and practice. And practicing something without a concept is like trying to make it through Dallas-Fort Worth without a map. The map is your concept. The actual practice would be driving or walking the territory, and your understanding would come from both of those.
And that builds confidence, doesn't it? To have you keep going.
You keep going, and the confidence is also those around you, because you're seeing new qualities in yourself, and then you're seeing new qualities in others, and ill will is starting to there's not a whole lot of people that don't display admirable friendship. So the world opens up to you at that point.
Now, I'm wondering, is this a good segue when you're talking about the confidence? Does confidence equate to self-esteem?
Oh, I do. I think it's... Well, the reason I like the self-esteem issue is this. I've been trying to teach the mental side of development for quite some time, both in business and in sport, before we got into more of an admirable friendship format.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that a lot of people resist these teachings. And that when I say resist the teachings, what I mean is they are unwilling to go into some of the deeper history of their experience. One would say that they exhibit denial.
Okay.
Okay, so, and I've seen it with certain people, and I wonder, why are they denying their experience looking backwards? What's that all about? Why does one deny their past? Or what are things about your past that you would deny? So as I began to study this, it came to me this issue of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher told me that through his writings, he had put a package together on where the misunderstanding associated with self-esteem comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept, he said, was that we have a definition of self-esteem that came our way sometime during this American phenomenon here. That says, you just look in the mirror and everything's okay. You just keep up a upper lip.
Everything's fine.
Go forward. And that's, you're just fine. You know, it's a form of dress for success. Right? It's just, you don't let them get you down.
But if you don't own it, isn't that denial?
Well, let's break it down. If you are going to assume that you, in an aggregate form, you are fine.
Right.
Well, you're more than just you. There's no just a big package of you. You're made up of a lot of past actions and a lot of forward actions, right?
Yes.
You're a renaissance. Each one of us is a work in process. And we, if we were to look back in our lives, it would be a sum total of our actions and results that came from our life is what made us.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at the manufacturing of a buddy or a Carol or any of our admirable friends. So when we turn around and say, you're just fine, that's a quick form without any discernment.
It discounts a whole lot, doesn't it?
It discounts a whole lot. First of all, it discounts, and that gets back to that, it hit me right away. That's what you're denying. You won't break up your past and look to your mistakes in the past, so you're stopped learning. How could you not look on your past? That's where you're going to be learning from, is the mistakes of the past. And if you're not willing to go there and look at them, so then you say, well, why aren't you willing to look at them? Well, if all of a sudden I'm just fine, then I'm not going to go there and say that I'm not fine.
We don't need to. That's kind of like the...
So you keep up this facade of, I'm excellent, worse yet, when, wait a minute here, and again, if we can look at our actions of the past versus the aggregate us in the past, because if all of a sudden we go back there and unskillfully look at self as this one package, then of course we're not going to want to go back there because it's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult. When if we can clinically look at our actions
and not personalize it.
Right. Now there's the skill. And that's something I think can be taught. And that will help us break this logjam of denial. And when we break through the concept of self-esteem, instead of self-esteem being I'm just positive as a out of the blue, just me, I have self-esteem, instead of self-esteem being grown over time as one who is learning from their actions. Now, there's a learner that's got a lot of self-esteem, a lot of confidence, a lot of conviction in their life. It's because they've learned from their actions. And what have they learned? Don't do this, do this, right? And put them into a path that's either skillful or unskillful. The path to skillfulness would be you don't harm anybody, you help others, live good quality, and then unskillful would be the stressful side, the things that you do that cause stress to you and to others. And that, then
all hurtful, you gotta do, hurtful actions or words.
Words, actions, thoughts, all of it. Because thoughts precede your actions. So you have to put it all up for grabs. Mm-hmm. If I have negative thoughts, that's not that you throw them away and say, I shouldn't have these negative thoughts. You investigate that. You investigate that and you learn to let that go and say, well, that's not a consistent thought with where I need to go. So you're looking at your past in the context of going forward on that road to reliable happiness. You've got to be willing to look in the past. And then when I read that issue of self-esteem, it's like, wow, that's it. We all do this. Even myself has that aspect of it, that we want to go underground and bury some of these actions in the past and not come to grips with it.
Well, I know I do that. I do. It's why bother? That seems like a waste of time, but...
Interesting.
I mean, as you put it in those terms, it's like, well, it's just... skillful, and that's where the leverage is again.
But I see you almost feel, I'm almost pain in your face when you say, I don't want to go back to some of these things. So you say,
well, I guess because skillfully, I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, I didn't know how to skillfully address it.
So it is a concept. So if we can break your idea of what your definition is, then why not go back?
Absolutely. What's there to be afraid of?
And especially if you've got other people willing to talk about the past. Not in the text that I'm going to talk about the context I'm going to talk about my past as a whine. It's going to say, no, I've done that too. You know, you see somebody during the day and you see them acting stupid. Right? Now you can kind of look back and say, I've acted stupid before. You cut them some slack all of a sudden because you start looking and learning from those actions and say, I don't want to act that way. But I've done it. Whereas if you all of a sudden say, well, they're a jerk and look at the way they're acting, you're not really being honest with your own experience. There's almost everything, you know, not the big crimes of murder and everything else, but every unskillful thing you see all day long. We have done this. I know I have in my life. And if you're going to be totally honest and not have this a fear of hurting yourself or this image of self-esteem, and you're going to look at it and you're going to say, interesting, how'd that occur? And what do I got to do to stop that?
Because when you think about it, really can't hurt you, can it?
How can it?
Right. It can't hurt you again.
It's past.
It's not going to
be. It can only help you under the lens of a learner if you're going to learn from it. But you can clearly see where denial would be. I'm not going to look there. And I, like I said, I think you're that because I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I couldn't have done these bad things to others. No, they're the... See, I'm a good person. They're not. That's what that lends to. You know? We're not talking about whether you're a good person or not. We're talking about your actions. We're talking about our actions. Mm-hmm. If you can look and break that person down. That's what we mean when we say don't take it personal. Break that person down. It's the same discussion we have when we try to have the committee of the mind. When we have people use that inner dialogue and break it apart. What we're trying to do is break up that person, that edifice of who they think they are or who we think we are, by breaking it down into conversations.
Because we're not just a linear, we're just not a linear, we as people or humans aren't just a linear line. We're just like a gem with many facets.
Yeah, and very, very sensitive, subject to what you encounter every day, what people say to you hurt sometimes, and then you have to investigate that. What's that about? And so now you start looking. You start looking at it more constructively towards really improving that. Now that's self-improvement, the way I see it. Let's take a call because I'm sick of talking. Huh?
Who have we got?
We got Ian on line one. Ian, how you doing?
Hi, Ian.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm very envious of you. Out in the wilderness there, it sounds like it's a real, really fantastic experience. I was calling in, I have a question regarding what you're talking about, going back and looking at past actions. And it occurred to me would it be true to say that you would only do that if it's an action that you're repeating, you're continuing in the present. So if it's something that you did, you're not proud of or what have you, but it's not something you do anymore, it's not a behavior that you exhibit, Is there any value in going back to look at that, or is that something you've moved on from?
Well, Ian, I think you're spot on with not digging up things that you don't need to. However, if I heard you correctly, it's as if you're not exhibiting these anymore. But if you're looking at other people's actions, and we want to learn from others as well as ourselves, so you could be looking at other people's actions and be highly critical of their actions. When you say maybe you fix these actions, but the empathy would come from you recognizing, I've done that before too. And there's not a steep residue. So that would be the only exception I would see as it relating it to someone else's actions as a way to skillfully let go of that person's actions. Do you follow that? But I think 95% of it, you're spot on with your deduction.
Right. I don't think, buddy, you're saying go and dredge up the past on purpose. No. Just it's realizing that what your actions, seeing your actions for what they are, and saying I've done this before, or how you're unkind to somebody else, perhaps that you've said I'm like that as well.
Well, yeah, but I think if you're really going to understand others, you've got to find that common ground that's human that you have with others. And those actions that you're most of the time very critical of, and I'm very critical of, we've done these things. Mm-hmm. So there's your empathy.
I like that what you say is if you're empathetic with them.
But not an empathetic like I've done your storyline and what. No, this is, I know the pains that have gone through. I know that sometimes you say things you shouldn't say. It's only in a way of letting go, but it's also that overall, Ian, to me, there's two emotions that carry us through the practice. If there is emotion, you know, we talked about equanimity and finished up last week, but if there's two emotions of desire or human emotions that drive us, I would say is that I'm not going to call it a negative emotion, but kind of a, and it's kind of a fear, a skillful use of fear that says, wow, if I don't act skillfully, my life is not going to be good. And look at, everybody is suffering, and I'm suffering too. There's an overall feeling of stress. But then you combine that emotion with the second emotion, which I consider this the salt and pepper, and that's the confidence that I can do this by practicing this way. And those are two real emotions that I have found in my life. The one of the, you know, distress side of, wow, this is a lousy life. You know, if you don't, but you can't, if you had that emotion by itself, that would lead to depression. But I think when you combine that with, there's a way out through these mind qualities, now those two emotions fuel you out of the hole that we are inevitably denying that we're in.
But that's where determination comes in. That's why you said determination was the overriding factor of all of these qualities.
And then I said to you, conviction is part of it. Yeah. But they're both emotions that fuel you. Because if you don't have if you try to paint over the stress that we're experiencing, hey, look, we're human. Life has its ups and downs. It has its lows. We feel low sometimes. We're physically built. So look at, our bodies are falling apart as we get older. So you can't deny all this. You can't deny that you look better in the mirror when you were 20 than you look now. This is distressful.
It can be.
Again, if you don't have that other emotion.
That's correct.
Does that make sense, Ian?
Yeah.
You still with us?
That's helpful.
I hope I didn't lean anybody towards the negative side with that kind of a personal referral of the way I practice, but I use both emotions. Does that work for you, Ian, that way, or do you have empathy with both of those emotions, the negative as well as the conviction?
Yeah, I think you need both, because certainly the negative one could be very destructive on its own. And that gives you the motivation to practice these mind qualities.
And if you had just the positive side, that would be the self-esteem, saying, I'm just great the way I am. Everything is great. Life is great. So you'd be kind of dusting over past actions.
Well, yeah, and then you would be kidding yourself that you had no development to do. So it would have the same effect. Yeah, you wouldn't do anything. So, that makes a lot of sense.
So I think the self-esteem.
Yeah, and I like what you said about the empathy as well. The reason for recognizing behavior as something that you did yourself and that you are capable of doing still. That puts you in a different, if you're going to help someone out of that situation, it puts you in a different frame of mind instead of the critical frame of mind. You can maybe point out where that action goes and where it took yourself and why, you know, there's a good reason to change that.
Yeah. I like the way you dipped into potentiality too. Because I didn't say that, you did, Ian. And that's really skillful. The potential exists for us to be unskillful. And there's where you have that fear, right? That skillful use of fear. And people think because they don't want to go into their past that they're fearful of the past. It's not fear that's the governing emotion. What it is denial or ignorance to that history and to those events. It's not fearful when you break it apart and you change the definition of just looking at it as an action. It's no more fearful than learning how to strike a poor note on an instrument keyboard. You learn from your mistakes. So the fear isn't the right word for not going back there. What really is I think, is this misunderstanding. And that's why when I read this issue of self-esteem, I said, wow, this is a good opportunity for us to really bring that word out and find out if there's anyone out there that's got the wrong understanding of what that means. And could that be the reason why we exercise denial and looking back, or why we're so... And you see so many teachers that talk about it's okay to not be perfect. And, because we know we're dealing with it. Heck, the Dalai Lama noticed this. He said, what is this negative self-esteem that everybody's got? And after reading and listening to Ajahn Jeffrey explain this, it seems to me that could it be that the negative self-esteem is the result of having the wrong definition of a self-esteem?
That could very well be. But I think once you break it down and you say there's nothing to fear, I mean, if somebody says, I just don't want to go back there, it's too scary or too fearful, or when you don't personalize it, there's nothing to be fearful of.
And that's
an action that you look at
you come up with a new definition and everything's different. Again, like everything else we talk about on the show, you need to try out bits and pieces of this on your life and see if it works. If it works, go for it. If it doesn't, then try something else. There's nothing that we're suggesting is the ideal way. And if it comes across that way, I'm going to come out now and say, here's a disclaimer.
No.
This is not what we're saying.
Try it on for size.
Try it on for size, little pieces. Try looking in, dig up a little bit if you want to, or look at it when you see somebody else's unskillful action and ask the question, have I ever acted that way? And see what the results are in your experience. See if you let people go. See if that brings you less stress in your life. If it does, stay on the road. If it doesn't, try something else. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
That was a very interesting question. I'm glad you brought
that
up.
He's always insightful with his questions.
But you're right that the potential exists.
I didn't say that. Ian said that.
I know. I like I was just going to say I like the way he presented that, because that's a really skillful way to put that.
I just addressed the issue of using it as a way to let somebody else off the hook. And he initially, if you notice, he started his question by saying, why do I need to dig back something I've fixed? And then he ended his discussion talking about potentiality, so it never was completely fixed. Yeah, his own wisdom was recognizing that some of these things you have to be very heedful of your actions, very aware that you have the propensity. I used to think I was very weak when I was first married to you, and I locked myself up in a hotel room when I traveled so I could be faithful to you. I didn't realize that I was being pretty damn skillful. You just avoid these circumstances sometimes if you can't act skillfully. And then you learn what skill's all about, and you take on a bit at a time. But you're willing to be honest with your experience. You're honest with your shortcomings, what they are, and you don't take it all as one big, I'm either a good person or a bad person. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
When you think about it. It doesn't.
It's way too harsh on us. Isn't life tough enough without wearing these labels?
Yeah. It's a lot of energy to expend. When you talk about, you know, everything's fine, and you're dancing, you're tap dancing as fast as you can to keep up that facade, huh?
And we both know from our own practice that the wall comes tumbling down.
Yeah, it's not.
Because you keep burying this stuff with this misguided.
It's an ignorant view.
It is.
Because you're ignoring what you're looking at.
Not ignorant meaning stupid and
intellectual. No.
But
just
you're
ignoring
the reality of your experience. And the reality is both what you've done in the past, what you're doing presently, but always looking in the past in the context of what do I need to do to be skillful going forward. Not in the past of saying, why did I do this? Or why was I this way? See the I, why am I this way?
Well, it's not a beating up. It's not, the purpose is not to beat yourself up, to go back there to beat yourself up.
No, the purpose is to understand the actions.
Exactly.
And what are skillful and what isn't skillful. And if you certainly aren't going to be honest about the times that you were rude or unskillful or let your own greed take something away from somebody, you know how many business deals that I did that in? How would you ever learn what a good business deal was if you weren't honest about where you took advantage of somebody? Oh, I'm just a good businessman. Well, really? How about your actions? Are they always skillful? When you get caught on the bad end of a deal, did you ever do that to somebody else? You're going to be dead honest with yourself? Sure. And sometimes when you get caught on the bad end, you say, I got to go get somebody else because I got caught on that one. And see, all the stress.
Like it evens out. Like you BS'd yourself into thinking it's just the world makes sense after all because it evened itself out.
And see how that looks for you when you look back on your life. See how that all works for you. It won't. It won't. Because you're going to be a sum total of all your actions is going to be what you end up looking at. And whether you developed yourself into high quality states of mind is going to be the effort that you put forth in that area. And you're going to put that and you're going to say, well, how much time am I spending polishing my car? How much time am I spending, you know, going out and having a good time with the guys? And you're going to say, well, how much time am I spending and learning to be skillful? You're going to add up all those hours and all those times because any skill, whether it's learning to play golf or learning to be a carpenter, it's a function of working under a great apprentice and the number of reps you exercise and the better you get at it. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to live life with that purpose and you're going to do it skillfully by watching the actions, and you can develop yourself over time. And the beauty about this lifestyle, I think, is it doesn't matter where you start.
No. It's like exciting. It's exciting to put one foot in front of the other.
Because you know why? Because you know that unless I do this, nothing's going to change. And that's the deep, hard secret.
Well, you know, because it's almost like the ideal mind qualities are bulletproof. You know, patience? Oh, no, I don't want patience. You know, who's gonna say they don't want that?
Right.
You know?
But like anything else, it's the application of these ideals. You know, there are ideals that are out there, but what's key for them to live for us is the correct, skillful application of them and sharing them with others on the same journey. It, that allows us to let these things bubble up and deal with the reality of the renaissance that we're all after and the joy associated with callers like Ian and other friends that we have out there. It's a joy to watch them develop.
The joy comes from knowing that they're free to converse, to shift the conversation, to be authentic, because that's the yearning that they've had. And they haven't had an outlet for it.
Hell, Ian and I have said that to each other before. We barely know each other from terms of, you know, our relative life as to our work, but either one of us would help each other out because we've been honest with each other about our practices. Now there's a strong, admirable friendship that can develop as a result of just being honest and open and authentic with people. And we just met each other a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the joy in friendship is there for all of us if, in my view, if we go about it through a common desire to develop those qualities and stick with those. They're hard to argue with.
Right.
And make that, you know, bring that up in the conviction or the determination side as an important aspect of your life. Comparatively, that's not to mean that we run away and become monks or anything like this. Hell no. You know, I'm looking at beautiful scenery here, accompanied by a beautiful wife and I've got three great boys at home with lovely spouses, at least two of the case. Third one's on his way. But you know, there's a lot to be happy for in everyday life. But I think you can see those beauties more when you develop yourself. I think you're there to see it.
I agree.
You gonna let me close on that one? Come on.
I'm speechless. I am jaw droppingly speechless. What can I tell you? You just I'm in awe.
And we got to go back in the woods together.
I know.
Look out.
I tell you. I need my peace and quiet.
It's 7 o'clock.
It is. And so if people want to get in touch with us during the week, hello@admirablefriends.org. Yes?
You and that consistency trait of yours. You never forget to tell
people.
I don't.
I think it's important.
Yeah, like clockwork.
I know.
That's right. hello@admirablefriends.org.
You'll be thankful one day when somebody finally does that.
Well, are you glad we spoke?
I'm so glad we found this high mountaintop that had great reception so we could meet with our admirable friends.
But we really have to go sit on that mountaintop and meditate now because there's too much going on in my head right now.
Oh, okay.
This is like overload compared to what we've been through.
Okay, so what are we going to do next week? We're going to start all over again?
We're going to start all over again. And we're going to have that text going, and we're going to start with determination. And
cool.
I'm excited.
I am too. So until next week, everybody.
Next week. Thanks for everything.
Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals, yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.